Welcome to the Big Fat Real Estate Checks Podcast with Marco Kozlowski, where we help investors like you get the knowledge and skills you need to replace your J-O-B with passive cash flow for life.
Hey everyone, welcome to Big Fat Real Estate Checks. My name is Marco Kozlowski. I'm here with Gabriel Adaish, and we have no Frank. A moment of silence
for Frankless.
For being Frankless. He had a meeting that he had to attend, and since I woke up late today and I missed the appointment, it is totally cool for Frank to carry on with his day. And the beauty of doing what you want when you want is you just can do what you want when you want. And today we are going to be discussing how you can do what you want when you want and where you want to do things in, which is what Big Fat Real Estate Checks is all about. And if you have been listening to us or following us for quite some time, our mandate is to serve you at the highest possible level, which is our value system, to serve you at a very high level so you can get wealthy, because it is your God-given right to be wealthy through the service of others and understanding and educating yourself to have the best possible tools, education, knowledge, and data necessary in order for you to hit the ground running and get great results, which is all that matters at the end of the day. So today we're going to be discussing REITs. It's one of the top five Googled searches and in trends. And I know a little bit about REITs and I understand the concepts, but Gabe is I think knee deep in these things. So he swims with REITs. He tames REITs. He has REITs as pets. He feeds REITs, you know, in the morning and takes them for walks. He sleeps with REITs. Like he knows REITs well. So talk to us about REITs. Oh, REIT master.
All right. A REIT. Maybe first we need to explain what a REIT is. It's a real estate investment trust. That's what it stands for. And there are private REITs and public REITs, but the REITs that most people Google would probably be the public REITs, because it's basically investing in real estate, but via the stock market. So you're not really buying a piece of real estate. You're buying a piece of a company that is owning and operating real estate. And that's a very significant difference than owning real estate. It's basically the equivalent of you buying shares in or paper gold, if you will, versus buying the actual physical gold that you get shipped to your house. So that's the difference.
Paper gold? And like gold made out of paper, like gold leaves?
Like a certificate that says that you own gold.
I just want to make
sure. That's what paper gold is.
Those that don't know what paper gold is, understand that.
So fair enough.
Buying a share in gold that says that you own a piece of gold versus actually physically owning the gold.
Correct. And so there's, you know, of course, there's a lot of people out there that want to be exposed to real estate. And there's the gold, physical, that want to be exposed to real estate. But their mindset is, you know, I don't want to change toilets. I don't want to operate this stuff. I just want to take advantage of the real estate industry / momentum. And that's the best way they can do it. And at the same time, the bonus of investing in REITs, publicly traded REITs, is that it's a liquid asset, right, for you. So if there's a knock on real estate, is that it's an illiquid asset. It takes time to sell. If you own a piece of real estate and you need money tomorrow, you can't necessarily do that. I mean, it's possible, but it's highly unlikely. Whereas if you own a share of a REIT and you need your money tomorrow, you press the sell button and it's instantly the money's transferred to your account, but it's at whatever it's worth on that day, but it's your decision to do that. So that's kind of the pro of investing in a REIT. So you can diversify your portfolio by buying shares of a REIT. You are exposed to real estate. You know, most of them pay a dividend of some sort. So there is, to a certain extent, a cash flow option to it, and you can sell quickly. But let's kind of dig into what's under the hood of a REIT and how they operate, how they work. Because that's where you, once you understand that, you'll be able to make a better determination as to whether or not the things I mentioned that were pros are benefits enough that outweigh the cost that I'm going to, you know, walk you through.
So from a liquidity standpoint, I can start with a very little amount, a little sum of money. If I have $1,000, I can buy a piece of a REIT.
Yes. Or shares. Correct.
Shares. Right. A portion of a share of a REIT. Exactly. It's liquid, which means if I put $1,000 in, I can pull my $1,000 out at whatever it's valued at that time. From a return perspective, I'm assuming that it's a lot less volatile since we're trusting those that are managing the REIT to grow the money at a certain percentage. And I don't know what the average return is, but I'm assuming it's somewhat positive in most cases.
Yeah.
But there,
it is depending on the timing, right?
Right. But that you buy. It is based on whatever real estate that they own and
the value.
Is it the value of the real estate that the share is based on, or is it the cash flow that it's generating that is based on? Because if
I don't think there's a correlation, because when you're buying shares, it's supply and demand. So if a lot of people want to buy the stock, the price goes up. If a lot of people sell the stock at the same time, the price goes down. So there's no real...
It has nothing to do with the real estate itself.
No. I mean, it does to a certain extent, where if your real estate is doing well, more people are going to want to buy it. But it's not a direct correlation where if you've increased the value of your property tenfold, that your stock is going to go up tenfold, right? So that's what I'm saying.
You could technically have $1 billion in real estate, right? $1 billion in real estate, but the share be worth $2 billion in valuation of market share because of the supply and demand of that. So you're basically, that's interesting. All right.
Vice versa too, though. And depends on how many shares they sell, right? So there's a lot of dilution that goes in there. I mean, I'm not a stock market expert by any means, but you know, I've read enough prospectuses of REITs, and a prospectus is just the document that most of them, well, all of them who go public have to create. In the US, it's called a registration statement. And in Canada, it's called a prospectus. And that's how you IPO. And in there, basically, there's the whole nine yards of the works of how that REIT is structured, what their leverage permitted is. Like, are they allowed to borrow 80% of the value, 60%, 40%? And, you know, what they're investing in. And so, having the benefit of having read these as a member of the regulator, I know exactly how they work. And even though they give you distributions, you got to make sure that the money that they keep in the business is actually enough to pay distributions. Because I've seen cases where the distributions were higher than their AFFO, which is basically the income that they have. They're adjusted funds from operations. That's what it stands for. And that's basically what's left over from, you know, once all the expenses are paid. And if you're distributing more than what is left over, then you're basically borrowing to pay distributions. So it may sound good to you because you have, you know, say it's a 6% dividend, 8% dividend, and you're like, okay, I'm getting 6-8% of my money. But if they're continuously borrowing to pay for that, then your stock share eventually is going to start dropping, right? And so you're going to be losing money on that front. So you'll have a capital loss if you decide to sell. And it's really not sustainable in the long run. Now, sometimes it's sustainable because it's what it takes in order to get off the ground. And people, you know, there are REITs that could make that work, but it's a slippery slope, and I don't know that that's enough, you know, value for you to take that risk.
That sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me.
But here's, if we go into even deeper, because I'm gonna show you what the alternative to all this is. But let's say you're buying into a REIT. The way a REIT is structured, if I'm the operator of the REIT, if I'm the founder of this REIT, so typically we'll create a fund, we'll raise money and we'll buy real estate with it. But then what's not clear to most people who don't read the prospectus is the same management team, they actually have a separate entity that is private that they own that is will serve as the manager of the REIT. And basically, the REIT rents out the CEO, rents out the CFO and other members. So they pay fees to this management company to basically get the time of these individuals. They also pay management fees for them to actually, for that company to manage the property. And there's all these fees that keep going back to the founder. So the founders get extremely wealthy. It's a really, really solid proposition for them. And in fact, like if I'm an operator, the end game is going to be to take my private REIT into a public REIT for those reasons. All right. So for an operator, that makes total sense. But for an investor, you got to really dig into the fees and make sure that it all makes sense in the end, because that's all going to impact the value of that company, which is what you're investing in. But the value of that company is sucked out by a management company that's private, that's owned by the founders. So again, I can't, you know, sit here and tell you that they're all like this, but the ones that I've read the prospectuses of, most of them are similar, and that's kind of how they operate. And that's the only way it really makes sense for them. Because also to be a trust, a real estate investment trust, there's the reason they're trust is because they're impacted on a tax basis. And they don't have to pay taxes as long as they distribute 95% of their funds from operations or their adjusted funds from operations. The issue is that, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, that's good. So everything they make profit, they got to distribute 95 or they don't get their tax breaks. That's true. The problem is, what are the expenses that happen between the gross revenue and when you get to that leftover that needs to be fully distributed or almost fully distributed? And that's where you have to have a keen eye, like when you're reading the prospectus, to know what comes before that adjusted funds from operation line item that's going to be distributed to you, and what is left over. That's where you have to pay attention. And is that sustainable if they continue on that trend? Also, how much are they leveraged? Are they fully leveraged? Are they allowed to borrow 80, 90, 95%? Because the more they're leveraged, that's more risk against the asset. And that means that it's more risk to
When you
you.
say leverage, you mean
So again, there's all these cons, the pros that we've discussed, but the cons, I don't know if those are worth it. And I know that, you know, I don't really invest in the stock market. I'm happy to do real estate myself. I don't have to do it that way. But just from like an overview of looking into them, it just doesn't make sense. I can get better returns doing it passively, but differently. So if you want, we can discuss that now, where, you know, what's the offset? Like when we're talking about private REITs, they're not necessarily private REITs. They can be syndications or funds that invest in real estate that you can invest in. Now, granted, another pro of investing in REITs is that you don't necessarily have to be an accredited investor or a high net worth individual. Whereas in most private equity funds where, you know, they invest in real estate, you may need to be an accredited investor, which means that you have to, you know, make $200,000 or more a year, or, you know, have a net worth of $1 million excluding your primary residence. But there are also funds that operate under a certain exemption where they're allowed to raise money from 35 people that are non-accredited, which would mean, you know, if you don't meet that criteria of 200,000 or million net worth, but you're the fund that you want to invest in is what we call a 506B fund, they are allowed to raise money from 35 people that are non-accredited. So that, you know, that means that basically everybody qualifies for those spots. So, and why is it more advantageous to invest in those? Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if my microphone is working. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your screen, your camera's a little bit foggy.
Because I'm trying to chip in, chirp in, and I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, Dan, I didn't hear you. No, this is the first I
Right,
hear.
right, right. Am I very strange? Yeah, because I interjected a few times and then you just kept talking. I'm like, okay, well, I guess you can't hear me, so I have to reset my system. Sorry about that, folks. You unpacked a whole lot there that I want to play with a little bit. Number one is
Sure.
I want to circle back to the what does that look like as far as the fees and the renting of of their expertise and super fascinating to me. And you're saying that they get extremely wealthy. Yeah. Obviously, they, from a percentage basis or dollars basis, or obviously it's relative. If you're dealing with $1 million or $100 million or $10 billion, it's different. But
the percentage will be it's more or less standard there. It's in the 3-4%. Sometimes it goes up to 5-6%. But it's percentages for everything. So there's a percentage for management fees. Then there's either a percentage or a salary that's paid off to the management company in order to be able to rent out their CEOs and the CFOs, and all those fees are going to be relative. So what I'm saying is that until you read the prospectus, if you're going to invest in a public REIT, you know, that's fair. Go ahead, do that. But before you do that, you know, go find the financial documents, the prospectuses or the registration statements if you're in the U.S., and read the whole document. It's going to be painful because it's heavy.
I would fall asleep.
There's so much information in there that will drive you to understand whether or not it is a sound investment for your money and the risk level you're prepared to take.
I would fall asleep instantaneously by reading those things.
Well, yeah, but if that's the case, then I suggest you don't invest in them.
Because exactly.
It wouldn't make sense to invest something that you don't know what you're investing in, right? I mean, you'd have to understand what you're investing in. And
100%.
To pretend to say that I'm investing in real estate because it's a REIT is, in my opinion, it's silly.
It's really not investing, though. It's a stock.
It's not really investing in real estate. Well, I thought you're speculating because you don't know what you're investing in.
Right, but it's more of a stock investment than is a real estate investment. It's at the end of the day.
Well, yes, it is a stock investment, but it's exposure to real estate, which is what most people who invest in REITs are essentially, that's their mindset behind why they're parking money in a REIT. So if you want to diversify your portfolio and you want to have exposure to real estate, you can do it. This is one of the ways you can do it. The other way is where I was going, which is the private investment or the private real estate investment way, which is more lucrative for an investor. But then, you know, there's some of the things that REITs offer that this doesn't, such as liquidity, or maybe you need to be an accredited investor in some cases. So these are all things that, depending on what your timeline for your return of capital, and again, there's a difference between someone who wants to invest $1,000 and someone who's investing $50,000, $100,000, or $200,000 in a public REIT. So if you're able to invest $200,000, presumably maybe you don't need that money tomorrow morning. And maybe going down the private investment route might make more sense for you because the returns are going to be more sound. You get tax benefits directly to you via depreciation and cost segregation. So there's just a lot more benefits to an investor if you want to be passive and investing in real estate, there's a lot more advantages to going the private investment way than the REITs. And I think the best way of looking at it is if you start looking up most of the wealthiest, you know, real estate investors in the world, you know, I would doubt that you'd see anybody with, you know, REITs in their portfolio. Most of them will either be limited partners in investments, but most of them will actually be general partners. So they're running and controlling the private investment in real estate, and they are raising money from other wealthy individuals that are, you know, not interested in operating the just one exposure and a good return on their money from the real estate industry.
They probably own the REIT. They're not investing in the REIT.
Well, I guess it's not a REIT. It's just a private investment firm because it's a different structure. But yes, they basically, in your words, they own the casino.
Yeah,
they're not investing in
it. You want to own the casino. Exactly. You want to own the casino. Exactly.
But not everybody can own a casino and not everybody wants to. So that's fair. True. And some people just like to go play in the casino. So if you're going to go play in the casino, you can either play in the stock market, which is pretty much as close to a definition of a casino as there is, or you can play in the private equity world casino where you have control a little bit more over some of the variables or you understand them because they're simpler and your returns are going to be more sound, in my opinion. That's where all the wealthy invest their money, and that's who I want to follow.
There you go. So to land the plane, the only advantage that I see on a REIT is easy in, easy out.
Yep, easy in, easy out. Access to, like, if if you're not an accredited investor, if you don't meet the wealth criteria, although they're looking to change this criteria to make it, you know, less based on wealth, but a lot of private equity REITs work on private equity firms in real estate will work under a 506c model where you're not allowed to take money from non-accredited investors. But there's also the majority of them are actually 506b. So they have 35 slots that they can raise money from non-accredited. So if that's what you're looking for, you should look for those firms that are raising under a 506b structure. And then obviously you're going to have to do your due diligence on the individuals, on their track record, on what they're investing in, because the beauty of it is just like public REITs, you know, different investment firms will invest in different asset classes of real estate. So if you want to be exposed to multifamily, you can go down that road and find a private equity investment in that world. If you want to go down hospitality, you can go and find a private equity that invests in that. Just like REITs, there are REITs for hospitality, there are REITs for multifamily, there's some for industrial, there's some for storage facilities. So whatever you want to expose yourself to, you can in both worlds. It just depends on, you know, make sure in both cases, you got to read the documents. The document in the private world is a lot shorter and more concise than it is in the public world. But either way, you need to know what you're investing in and who you're investing in. And I would suggest that in the private equity world, it is more important to know who you're investing in, because if that person doesn't have integrity or thinks of themselves and their pocket first, that can go sideways pretty quickly. But on the flip side of it is if you find operators that operate with integrity and that put the investments first and the investors first, forgive me, then you know you're most likely to get really healthy returns and may want to, you know, continue to go down that path.
Yep, sound advice. And you clearly know more about this than the average human being, and I'm really grateful that that you're able to share this today. I might have to listen to this podcast a few times to really grasp everything that you said. I'm not the smartest of the village idiots. I think I'm the village idiot of the village idiots. And but yeah, it's good shit. Really good shit.
I've just been exposed longer than
clearly.
Most.
Well, you've been
regular. I had to read the documents. I'm not doing anything special, and I'm not anyone special with respect to the knowledge. I just read a lot of these prospectuses that most people refuse to read. And you know, full disclosure, the only reason I had to read them all is because I was paid.
Yeah, well, you were a regulator.
It is what it
is. You're
a
regulator as a job.
I was a regulator. So I had no choice.
This is your expertise.
I can't comment.
That's why you're here. So we appreciate you very much, Gabe, very much. I would have loved to see Frank's face during this conversation. It was hilarious. But it's really good stuff. I appreciate you very much. And as a listener, guys, like us, love us, share us, comment below. Make sure you subscribe and don't miss another episode of Big Fat Real Estate Checks. Because if you were possibly, if I was even thinking about doing or investing in a REIT, I would definitely do a double take, because there's really, other than just literally being like a stock, I don't really see an advantage to it whatsoever. Because technically you're not really exposed to the real estate. It's really just the stock that you're exposed to that's investing in that. It's like, do I really have tech exposure if I'm buying an Apple? Like Apple stock?
It's indirect exposure. Nah. It's not direct. That's
I don't learn about tech if I'm investing in Apple. It's really, you know, same thing. Anyway, we're saying the same thing, just differently. So appreciate you guys very much. Appreciate you, Gabe. And just take this information, apply it, use it, remember it, and we'll see you on the next episode of Big Fat Real Estate Checks. Thanks so much. Bye for now.
If you like this episode of Big Fat Real Estate Checks, then show some love by leaving a comment and a good rating. Also, as a thank you for tuning in today, we've got a special free gift. The journey to passive cash flow for a life starts by finding deals, and it's easier than you think. Simply go to getdealsbytuesday.com, enter your email address, and we'll send you a free quick start course called Deals by Tuesday. Even if it's 11 p.m. Monday night, this course will show you how to find discounted real estate deals by Tuesday. It's that fast and simple. Go to getdealsbytuesday.com and start your journey toward life-changing cash flow today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. Mm-hmm.